This is when I speak to my soul and I say, okay, what's the Spirit saying? And we hear all the nuggets throughout, and we just want to get that clear word of what God's saying. But he's certainly saying a lot to everybody, and it's great. So I just had a little bit to share, because I was preparing this week, and again, it got complicated, and verses, and teaching. It's like, no, I'm not a teacher. All I can share is what I've seen and heard, okay? So this is what I've seen and heard. But, the first thing I wanted to share was a testimony from In the Prison Thursday night. So I'm going off topic from everything else here, but then I think I'm going back to what we've all been talking about. So do you remember a couple weeks ago I shared that dream I had about I come with a promise? That wasn't easy, because who am I, right? The first prophetic word I ever heard in my life after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and then in ministry a few years, first word I ever heard was, in ourselves we are nothing. In ourselves we have nothing. And if you leave it at that, it doesn't sound very good, but the power is in the name of Jesus. And so, when God gives us something, we just speak it because it's not us, right? So I shared that. That was a powerful dream I had about I come with a promise. It was about healing and deliverance. And Thursday night, it wasn't even 2 weeks. And Thursday night, we're in the prison, and we're watching The Chosen. And partway through, I just heard this man behind me. I'd been speaking to him earlier. He was new there. He looked like he probably came in on a violation or something, probably had been drinking. And so he looked rough around the edges. He was middle-aged. And he said he needed to get back to his higher power. So we're watching The Chosen, and then I kept hearing all this sniffling, and I thought, does somebody have a cold, or does somebody need a cough drop? But I turned around, and I said, are you okay? He was crying, and he was all bent over, and he said, I have terrible lower back pain. And he said, I've had it before, but never like this. And he was being tormented. That's all I heard. He was being tormented. And so that authority, like in the dream, which I spoke very humbly, that authority of Jesus rose up in me. And I said to John next to me, pause the movie. We have to pray for this man. And so we paused the movie, and we had 21 guys come out. It was really wonderful. They just loved meeting Jesus through this movie. And so I got up, John laid hands on his head, and I got behind him, put my hand on his back, and it was truly just the authority of Jesus. Not long prayers, not doctrine, not preaching in the prayer, but I just spoke to that pain and told it to leave, and I emphasized Jesus. I kept hearing, to emphasize Jesus and his name and the power in his name. And we finished, and I said, right, men? And they all said, amen. And then we went back to the movie, and I sat down, and my thought was, it's done. It's done. I had total reassurance it was done. And I didn't feel to, kind of keep peeking back or asking him, how you doing? But at the end, John got to talk to him. And I'm assuming the pain was all gone, right? He was dumbfounded. He kept saying, I have no words to explain what happened. He couldn't even explain it. And so we said, well, come back Sunday night and you'll find out more. So he'll... We made that very clear. It was the power of Jesus. Yeah, we kept putting his name forth. So that was encouraging to me. And, what I hear this morning is time of preparation is over. If you aren't prepared by now, you're going to miss it, because it's here, like we kept hearing. Time of preparation is over. We're prepared, right? Amen. We have Jesus. We have the authority. We have his name. And, we've been knowing this is coming. And so now like for me, I had to just step out. God's been telling me, you know, just do it. Nothing's going to happen if you don't just do it. So that's why I love the prison ministry, because it's like fresh meat all the time. And and yeah, and you know, they're so open, and so we just do it, and Jesus shows up. But I want to go back to a dream I had many years ago, and it's going to be very significant to where we're at now, okay? This was, I think, after the Toronto renewal. We were still in Enosburg, and it was when things were calming down a little bit, and we were just blessed to be part of that, and that did go all over the world, and we just, that just changed our lives, totally. But in this dream, just out of the blue one night, I dreamed I was standing, it looked like a lake, standing in the water, maybe up to my hips, and John was in the water a little deeper. He didn't know I was going to share this, but it's a whopper. And he was working on, seemed like an old sailboat. Seems like we've always had fixer-uppers. So he's working on a sailboat. I'm standing in the water. Everything's peaceful and quiet. I looked around behind me, and there was this huge wave coming, and it was the size of a mountain coming from the shore. It was like a mountain behind me. And I knew it was coming, and you know when you're at the ocean, what do? When you want to body surf with a wave, right? I just knew to go with it, right? So I cried out, Jesus, with a sense that there are people around that needed to hear. So it was like a witness. Just cried, Jesus, and went with the wave, and I could literally feel that rush, you know, when you get caught up in a wave, this rush of the wave. And then I was out in the middle of the lake, blue sky, totally quiet, flat lake, and I just knew our oldest son, Jack, was over there, and I think I said, hold on to Joel, because Joel was the youngest. It's like, hold him up, because he was young. He needed help, you know, staying up. And my thought was, if John got caught up in the lines of that sailboat, he was gone, okay? Because, you know, like when a sailboat flips over and the lines are everywhere, that was my thought. He was gone. So probably the next day I was sharing it at the table with our kids, shared the dream, trying to get what God was saying out of it. And our son Jack said two things, and I've just never forgotten. The first was, Dad, let go of the boat. And that was such a true word. And that's for us, too. With this wave that has come, we have to let go of the boat. We can't try to fix what we've had before. God's doing a new thing, right? He's doing a new thing, and we don't know what it looks like, but we don't want to be caught trying to fix the old.
Elta's being very nice to me.
Why?
What? When this happened, I'm not going to be here for long. When this happened, God had been, we had pastored a church for 5 years. God was calling us out of that church, and I didn't want to go. I was scared to go. I did not want to let go. And that boat represented the ministry that we were in. He was calling us into something new, and I was holding on to the old. And you're being very nice to me about that. Thank you.
Well, and we all have to come to that point. Yep. And then Jack said, Mom, it's going to come from a different direction than you expect. And, of course, we'd been through Toronto. We'd seen God just drop in meetings, just supernaturally. You know, you're in the presence of God. Nobody does a thing. Nobody tries.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Somebody we know. Nobody tries to make anything happen. That's great. Yeah. And, I've totally lost it. He's still honking down there. Come from a different direction. Right. And so even this morning when I heard what God's doing now and what Womack said in 1991, it will turn the tide. How many times does a wave come from the shore, right? Yeah, see, God turned the tide. And we don't go by what we see, but what he says, right? And so I want to encourage us all. We don't go by, like, the evil and the negative we're seeing in the world, but what has he said? And this might be a good time to look at Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3. Joe will put that up. Thank you, Joe. I'm wondering if I have it. Yeah, arise, shine. And yeah, we'll do one verse at a time. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. So that is happening, and I don't know how many times I see that through my journals. It's like, oh, it's like the first time every time, but he just keeps repeating that. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. And we know that has happened, and I don't know how I can even go into all the things God said to me about this shift that was coming. And you know what I heard in January of 23, I didn't realize it until I was looking back in my journal, but what I heard was, rise up, renewal is coming, like in Toronto, but different. So it's going to look different. But God had also been showing me that this wave that came from the shore, he was going to start with the government this time. And that's what we're seeing. And it's not just Charlie Kirk, but God showed me a couple different things. I don't like to get political, especially now that this is on YouTube, but with Trump, that God was going to use him. He woke me up one night. He said, I mean, look at his name, Trump. He said, I'm going to use him, you know, to speak because he's bold. And a couple of other things, even some of the times when people have tried to, well, when they kicked him out and impeached him, he gave me a dream about that before. But God put him in place just like in the Old Testament. He had put kings in place to, right, work through the government, and that's what's happening. And he made a way with his boldness. God has used him so that Charlie Kirk could rise up and do what he's supposed to do. And so Ephesians 5:14 is the second verse I had, which keeps coming back to me over and over, but we are in it. And yeah, this is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. But this is it. Jesus is doing it, like we all said this morning, and we're in it. And I guess that's all I have to say. But I'm like you guys, is just so much. But we just have to remind ourselves to go by what has he said and go back to the word, because we want to keep our eyes on Jesus and what he's doing and not on what the enemy is doing. I will say one thing, though, and I think it's wonderful God's moving for the youth and they're stepping out and all. But so many times with revivals and stuff, we put a lot of pressure on the youth. It's like, yeah, go for it. You're going to do it. God's on you and all that. But, you know, we're responsible, too. And we've known young people who have grown up in churches where, you know, they've felt that pressure. But somehow we're part of it, too, right? So we don't want to just put undue expectation. Yeah, it doesn't matter how old we are, right?
We're young and hard.
We are. We're getting younger every day. That's the way I look at it. Younger every day because we're getting closer, and it's good. So to me, we're more childlike, and I'm a lot more childlike. It gets a little scary. So I guess that's it. And John says it's time for Huggy Break.
Amen.